In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 58, Paul reveals a fascinating mystery to us. He tells us that not all of us will experience death in the traditional way, but we will all be transformed. Imagine, in the blink of an eye, at the triumphant sound of the last celestial trumpet, an extraordinary change will occur. The dead will rise, no longer subject to corruption, but radiant in incorruptibility. And we, still mortal, will be clothed with immortality. Paul confidently proclaims, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, death will be swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? He challenges. Death, which takes so much from us, loses its power in the face of the divine promise. The power of sin, which is the law, will no longer dominate us, for through our Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the ultimate victory. So how should we respond to this revelation? Paul advises us, let us be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. This magnificent event, known as the rapture, is described in more detail in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the resounding trumpet call of God. Those who have died in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with him forever. The trumpet has always held a symbolic and powerful role in biblical tradition. In the Old Testament, it was the sound that called people together, a call to gather, move, or even go to war. For example, in Psalm 81, verse 3, it is instructed, "Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day." Similarly, Leviticus 23, verse 24, instructs us to mark the beginning of the seventh month with a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. This sound also marked miraculous events, such as the fall of the formidable walls of Jericho, which succumbed after 7 days of trumpet sounding, as narrated in Joshua 6, verses 4 to 20. Thus, the trumpet is a precursor of significant changes and divine interventions. In end-time prophecy, the sound of the trumpet gains an even more transcendent significance. Joel 2, verse 1 warns us, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming." This sound not only announces but also prepares us for the imminence of the day of the Lord. When the rapture occurs, the sound of the trumpet will serve as a celestial alarm for us believers, signaling the transition to a new existence. This resounding heavenly call will guide us from the sinful world to the kingdom of God, where we will be rewarded for our earthly deeds. In this glorious moment, our mortal bodies will transition to immortality. Imagine yourself free from disease, fatigue, sin, and aging. Imagine a body that will never again need medical assistance. For those who are raptured, the promises of new eternal bodies, marking the beginning of an existence blessed with perfect and eternal health. This is the power of the divine call, a sound that lifts us above earthly limitations and draws us closer to the heavenly promise. The desire for a state of perpetual health may seem more distant for those who have never suffered from serious health issues. However, at the moment of the rapture, in a mere blink of an eye, everyone will receive a body immune to any illness. Imagine living with 100% health, not just for a brief period, but forever. The sound of the last trumpet transcends a mere signal. It is the prophesied call, a powerful reverberation that echoes from the heavens and announces an eternal change. This divine echo reaches every corner of the universe, transforming cemeteries into places of awakening, where the saints who rested in Christ rise. This demanding and deeply prophetic moment is when the earth will tremble, and those who lived in the name of the Lord, be it 100, 500, or 1,000 years ago, will rise in incorruptible form to inherit the eternal kingdom of God. Reflect on the magnitude of this event. As we are lifted up, we will see saints of the past ascending before us, seeming to have defied and defeated death itself. This special event is a gathering of all believers from all ages, converging in heaven to meet the Lord. It will be a spectacle of unification and victory, a scene of triumph over death and corruption that has so far shaped the human condition. The last trumpet is not just an announcement, but the beginning of a new era where eternity and perfection meet. The sound of the trumpet is not just an alarm, it is a divine call that invites us into the presence of the kingdom of God. This is the sound that marks our passage from mortals to immortals, where we witness the divine promise, the mortal becoming immortal, the corruptible becoming incorruptible. We will be among the many who will experience this miracle, where death loses its power and cemeteries transform into places of uncommon hope. It is strange how, as we age, it seems we spend more time in cemeteries. At every funeral, at every coffin we carry, I am reminded of Jesus Christ. There, we usually find mourning families, widows, widowers, and parents, surrounded by grieving children and friends, all crying for a loved one. And in this environment of sorrow, the reality of death becomes evident. It brings with it deep sadness. But in the midst of this moment, as I look around and see tombstone after tombstone, one question persists in my mind. Could this be the moment? Could this be the moment when he will return? The Apostle Paul reminds us in his words that we should not be ignorant or grieve like those who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Yes, we, as Christians, face the loss of loved ones with sadness, but it is a sadness tempered with hope. The hope we have is not vague or uncertain. It is a hope firmly anchored in the promises of God. Whenever I find myself passing through a cemetery or attending a funeral, I am reminded of the powerful words of 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 16. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians to instruct them about those who had fallen asleep, encouraging them not to grieve like those who have no hope. The reason for our hope is clear. We firmly believe that just as Jesus died and rose again, God will also bring with him those who have fallen asleep, believing in Jesus. He continues, assuring us directly by the word of the Lord. Those of us who are still alive at the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the resounding sound of the trumpet of God. And then, in a moment that transcends time as we know it, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, in a glorious and triumphant manner, we will be forever with the Lord. This is the moment every truly born-again believer longs for. As we witness the dead in Christ rising first, know that we are on the brink of being caught up to be with Jesus. When we enter eternity, we will meet the one who is the object of our deepest desire. We thirst and hunger to personally know the one who came to earth for our sins. Imagine meeting the one who was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, performed miracles, cast out demons, raised the dead, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, and was wounded for our transgressions and iniquities. We will meet the one who bore sin upon himself and died on the cross, saying, "It is finished." He who was dead now lives forever and holds the keys of death and Hades. Because he lives, we also live, and the Bible assures us that our life is hidden with Christ. If you have ever lost a loved one who was born again, know that they are merely sleeping in Jesus, where our true life is found. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 reminds us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." This verse is not just a word of encouragement. It is a call to remain dedicated in our faith and our actions, knowing that our meeting with Jesus is both a certain promise and our greatest hope. We are called to imitate the life of Christ as it was revealed during his first coming. The scriptures recount how he walked the lands, spreading goodness, and it is imperative that our lives reflect this essence of God's love. Imagine living each day as if it were the one on which Christ would return. If you knew that Jesus would return today, wouldn't it significantly change the course of your day? This is the level of awareness we must live with in perpetual anticipation of his return. Allow me now to raise some crucial questions. If you knew the rapture was imminent today, would you still allow unforgiveness to reside in your heart for those who wronged you? Would the sins committed today still mark your actions? Brothers and sisters, let us seek holiness and a life of expectation, whether the rapture is imminent today or a decade from now. What truly matters is the depth of your connection with God and your bond with Jesus. Shift your focus from predictions and forecasts to strengthening your relationship with the Lord. Are you obeying His commandments? Is your life governed by His word? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, and being? Let us question whether we are more entangled by sin or pleasure than by the love of God. In these final days, discernment is paramount. Our foundations must be firmly rooted in the knowledge of God and our spirits attuned to His, so that we do not become adrift, carried away by the winds of ever-emerging doctrines. In our current spiritual journey, we find ourselves immersed in a dense atmosphere of confusion and deception. False prophets and erroneous doctrines proliferate, leading many astray from a genuine understanding of God's word. These challenges require from us sharp discernment and a constant dedication to the study and true understanding of the scriptures. As Paul reminds us in 1 Timothy 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, we face evil people and imposters who will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But for those who remain steadfast in the truth, learned and firmly believed, there is a clear call to persist, knowing clearly from whom they learned and the foundation of their faith. The world around us remains a place of profound spiritual darkness. Millions still wander without the light of the knowledge of Christ, trapped in cycles of despair and delusion. It is our mission as disciples of Christ to illuminate this path. This is the essence of our ministry, to bring the truth of the gospel to all corners of the world, save lost souls, and encourage everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, the promise of Christ's return keeps us hopeful and active. As Jesus himself assured in John 14 verses 1 through 4, he has gone to prepare a place for us and will certainly return. He instructs us not to let our hearts be troubled and to keep our faith firmly in God and His promise. In my Father's house are many rooms. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Therefore, it is essential that we do not get lost in speculations about the times and dates of the end times, nor become obsessively focused on interpreting every sign as an immediate harbinger of His coming. Instead, our focus should remain on building and deepening our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The quality of that relationship is what will truly matter when we enter eternity, for it is through it that we will find our true home and our eternal rest.